Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to WBC Online. It's a beautiful day today. Blue skies, just a slight breeze. The rain has eased off. Things are drying out a bit. And I guess we can honestly say this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And today would be a great day just to rejoice. Today I want to continue with our talk about the Holy Spirit. But I want to begin just a little bit differently than normal.
The Big Red Tractor and the Little Village. Once upon a time, in a little field, in a happy little village, lived a big red tractor. Every morning during plowing season, the village people, no, not those village people, would come out and start the red tractor. Everyone loved the tractor and the powerful noises it would make. They would cheer for the big red tractor because he would help them through plowing season. The people worked together to move the tractor. Half of the villagers would push from behind, while the other half would pull. They had been doing it this way for many generations. Some days, they moved the tractor 10 feet. Some days, they moved it 20. They did this for 3 whole months every year. Because of their hard work, the villagers always managed to plow the field just in time to plant and just before the rainy season. The rains would come to water the field. Then the sun would come out to make the crops grow. And then the people would come out and harvest all the new crops. It was just enough food to feed the entire village. One day, Farmer Dave was cleaning out his attic. To his surprise, he found an old book tucked beneath his great-grandpa's belongings. It was the owner's manual to the big red tractor. This book told about how the tractor was made and all of the great things it could do. Farmer Dave studied the book all night. He was shocked by what he was reading. According to the book, if the big red tractor was running properly, it could plow the whole field in just one day. Early the next morning, Farmer Dave gathered the villagers to tell them the good news. But nobody believed him. "There's no way that tractor can move on its own," some said. One lady said, "It sounds like you're reading a fairy tale." The people laughed at him. This made Farmer Dave very sad. This didn't stop Farmer Dave from believing what he read. Every night, while the other villagers were asleep, Farmer Dave spent time repairing the big red tractor. One night, Farmer Dave fixed the tractor completely. He jumped on the tractor and had so much fun driving it, he ended up plowing the whole field in one night. The next morning, the villagers woke up and were in shock. The whole field had been plowed. "It's a miracle," one man said. "Maybe aliens came down," said an old woman. "No, look over there," a little boy shouted. It was Farmer Dave sleeping on the tractor. It was then the people shouted, "He was right. The tractor book is true." The villagers ended up plowing many fields that year and harvesting way more food than they could ever eat. They had so many leftover boxes of food that they began taking the boxes to other villages where food was scarce. The big red tractor and his little village soon became famous throughout the land. They became known as the most generous and life-giving people in the whole wide world.
If you haven't figured it out, the red tractor represents the church. We've had this church system for years now that has been fine at taking care of their own and surviving. But when you read the manual, when you read the Bible, I mean, don't you see something different? Don't you see something supernatural? So much of church is human effort and people pushing it along, getting the most gifted speakers and musicians and dancers and planners and businessmen, and oh, let's move this thing along, and things happen. But when you read in Scripture, don't you see that there was so much more that was supernatural? that the church had a movement of its own, that the Holy Spirit really led this movement, and things would happen, and the people just kind of come alongside of it and reap the benefits. When I see the scriptures, I see a church that's unstoppable. And part of my frustration is I feel like today's church is so stoppable. You just take away enough of these gifted people and it's going to die. You just change this or that and the whole thing would die. Whereas in the scriptures, there was no way that church was going to die. There was a power of its own. It was fueled by the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that if we began to live the way the Holy Spirit wanted us to live, that amazing things would happen.
All right, what did you think of the story of the little red tractor? You might look at it and say, it's kind of silly to have a tractor and not know how to operate it. My goodness, they're wasting a lot of time. Well, let me make the current application. I also think it's a little silly to have a powerful church and it be ineffective because we don't know how to turn the motor on. We don't now know how to get in contact with the power source. Yes, the Holy Spirit empowers the church, but in many cases he is blocked or restrained or hindered, and he can't do the things he wants to do. So we ended up just like the little tractor that Francis Chan told us about. It's great to have that power in the church, but you've got to recognize it and engage the power of the Holy Spirit. So what do we do if we find ourselves in that kind of an awkward situation where there's no power around? Well, just like in the little cartoon, we go back to the owner's manual. And we all know the owner's manual for the Christian life, and that is the Bible. So we're going to go back and have a look. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we all know this chapter deals with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And some people get a little bit anxious when we get there. They start reaching in their mind to pull out all their little diversions and theological dodges. But look, there is no need at all to get nervous, but there is a great need to listen and engage. And like I said about those theological dodges, drop them. I've asked you at the beginning of this study to drop all preconceived notions about the Holy Spirit, and let's let the Bible talk to us rather than what we've learned in the past or what some preacher has said or some book has said. I dare say there's not any of us who haven't read multiple opinions about the Holy Spirit. Well, let's go back to the Bible and see what it says to us about the Holy Spirit. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to share with you a verse that I believe pretty much wraps up the whole chapter in one verse, and that's verse number 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You see, it's not all about this gift or that gift or that gift or who has that gift or who doesn't have that gift. What it's all about is the gifts that God has given us specifically is for the purpose of the common good of the church. There's no big I's or little U's. It's all about the common church. It's about the unity and the collective strength and unity within the church. Folks, that's where our focus needs to be. Now let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and just list those gifts of the Holy Spirit. One is given the gift of supernatural wisdom. Another is given the gift of supernatural knowledge. Wow, notice I'm saying supernatural because these gifts are supernatural in nature. One person is given the gift of extraordinary and supernatural faith. Faith to move mountains. Faith that can change things. One is given the gift of supernatural healing. Yes, healing is alive and well in our world. Another, the gift of working miracles. And others are speaking out prophecies. And another, knowing the difference between the spirits, whether it's God's spirit or it's the devil's spirit. That's an important gift, to know who's motivating what's going on. Others are given the gift to speak in tongues or languages, and some are given the gifts of interpreting those languages and those tongues. And these are given to the discretion, at the discretion of Jesus. Look at verse number 11. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. It's Jesus' responsibility to give us, or you, or others, the gift that He wants them to have. Everybody clear on that? Okay. Well, unfortunately, when the gifts of the Spirit starts becoming active, this one thing causes more division within the church than just about any other thing. But I want to change it today. Those gifts are not designed to cause division. They're designed to create unity and love among the brethren. It's a different focus. We need to look at that part. Oh, why are we doing this study? It's about time that we learn how to turn the big red tractor on so we can use it. Now go with me back to verse number 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Again, that's so important. If you don't memorize any other verse, I want you to memorize that one. Because you see, it's not for to look at this person as a super spiritual, or that person is not. It's about for the common good, where we can minister to the needs of each other. Yes, in a supernatural way. And no, it's not to look at me, what I can do, but it is to bring glory to God and to Jesus through the church in the unity that He so greatly desired. Remember in His prayer in John chapter 17, this is for the church. He says, my prayer is that they all may be one. And that's one thing that's not in the church today, is unity. Our church is pretty well unified, but collectively it's not throughout the area and through the world. What we have to do is focus on unity. And right here is a good place to begin that. So let's see what else that Jesus says in verses 19 and 20. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. We are all part of the body of Christ, placed within that body by Jesus for a specific purpose. We can't say, I'm not a member with Him or with her. We are collectively the body. We can't walk away from the other members. We need each other. We are important to each other. I want you to get your head around that. That's so important. We are part of the same body. We're placed here by Jesus. Look, you'll never see the human body working against itself, and it survives. If the human body is working against itself, you desperately need surgery, or the body will die. Let's look further in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 through 24. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the part that lacks it. We're supposed to give the greatest honor to the gifts, those that are gifted, that are the least noted or noticeable. They're supposed to come out front. The loud, brash ones are to kind of be set back. I mean, they can look after themselves, but the church is to give the least gifts the greatest honor. That's what it says. Why? Look at verses 25 through 26. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Let's read that again, because I think we've just found how to switch the big red tractor on. Let's read it. That there may be no division in the body, watch this, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So what are the supernatural gifts all about? It's for us caring and encouraging each other. Jesus called that loving each other. So the gifts of the Spirit are not about supernatural heroes. The gifts of the Spirit are all about caring and loving each other. That really simplifies this discussion about the Holy Spirit. So let's build on that. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Paul talks in a similar vein about the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And that's the gifts. Look, the first step to turning the motor on, to loving each other, the first and the most critical step is humility and a proper view of yourself. Then Paul gives us another list of the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhorting or encouraging. Did you know that encouragement and exhortation are gifts of the Holy Spirit? Giving is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Leading is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And finally, doing acts of mercy. Showing mercy is a supernatural gift given to people to show mercy, to be the real heart of the church. All of that is about unity and loving each other within the church. Then Paul kind of wraps things up in verse number 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I like this next part, he says. Outdo one another in showing honor. How long has it been since anyone has tried to love somebody more than they love you? We're supposed to try to outdo each other in loving each other. And remember, it starts with humility. And when you love somebody, don't brag about it. You just lost it. So love somebody and love them genuinely. Go on with me to verse number 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. There's that arrogance. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Even Jesus talked about a lot of people likes to sit at the head of the table to where they can be recognized. He said, no, you go down at the foot of the table. You humble yourself. If the host wants to elevate you, that's his business. But you and me, we're to humble ourselves. That's where loving each other all starts. And then verse 18 kind of sums everything up. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. That's big. Do we need anything more than these things? No, we don't. Because we're supernaturally gifted to do them. You see, we don't need anything more than this, because this is exactly how Jesus lived. Now he has gifted us to live the same way. And I believe if we will do these things, then we can switch on the motor. Just crank that big motor of the big red tractor and get her going. The application is so we can turn on the motor of the church and get the church going. So let me give you a simple summary of what I've talked about today. Find your gift. Whatever gift that is, find it and use it to love and to encourage those around you, because that's what it's for. Not for self-glorification, but for loving each other. Now, are you ready to do that? Come on now, are you ready to do that? I know I am. I know next week I'm going to give you some final comments about the Holy Spirit, and then it will be up to us to start living an unhindered, unrestrained life that's directed by the Holy Spirit of God. And if we will do that, it will set our lives and our church on fire. Father, I thank you for this study in about the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this marvelous truth that you have gifted us to lift up, encourage, and minister to each other. Father, thank you for that gift. Now, Father, help us to engage that and to live it out unhindered and unrestrained. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's take a few minutes just to worship.